More than anything else in the world, we need to see Jesus. And this is true both for those who have never seen him, as well as for those who have lost sight of him, because it can happen. Many people say that they believe in Jesus, but in fact, they just believe certain things about him. Their faith doesn't change anything for them because they've never really seen him. They remain under God's judgment, blind as ever. Now, have you ever seen Jesus? I mean, really see him. When your eyes are opened and you see him for real, you know it because everything changes. It really does. In fact, you're born again, like we sang in the birthday song, second birthday. So has everything changed for you? I'm sure most of you have been faithful believers for many years. But let's announce the gospel anyway. Have you been born of God's Spirit? So let's read a Bible story of a man who at first could not see Jesus, but because he wouldn't be denied, he finally did see him. And what he saw changed everything for him. Now, listen carefully as I walk you through the story. In Luke 19, if you've ever been to Sunday school, you already know this story. Even if you're a kid, you probably know this story. But let's go through it again. Luke 19, the story of Zacchaeus. I'll start with reading the first three verses. Luke 19, verses 1 to 3. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. This is the New American Standard Version. And there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was, and he was unable due to the crowd because he was short in stature. So from verse 2, we learn three important things about Zacchaeus. First, he was a chief. He was a leader. Second, he was a tax collector or publican. And three, he was rich. Now, being a leader, Zacchaeus was a person of advanced social status, who, however, would have been despised by everyone, notwithstanding his high position. You see, the tax collectors were Jewish, who collected taxes, though, from their own people for the hated Roman government. One bad thing on top of another. But it didn't stop there. Though they were Jewish themselves, these tax collectors were known for adding illegal surcharges to what their countrymen owed the Roman state, and then line their pockets with the extra money. So you could see how their own people really hated these people. Being a chief tax collector, Zacchaeus would have been seen as the worst of the worst, because he was the leader of this carnivorous band of betrayers. Therefore, not only did his countrymen hate him, but so did the Romans, because nobody likes a traitor. On the one hand, Zacchaeus lived, therefore, as an elite in society. A big house, good job, big chariot, newest model. Influential and rich man in the nation. But on the other, he was relegated to the sideline of society as the worst of sinners. Yet, this particular tax collector was seeking Jesus, even if it was at first only out of curiosity. And sometimes it starts like that. He may not have realized it yet himself, but he must have had a change of heart somewhere along the line. He must have started looking for God, even in his heart of hearts, without realizing it, in order to get his dishonest life in order. Now, no doubt he had heard of the great works and powerful teachings of Jesus, because such things were well publicized throughout Israel. So when he heard that this great man was passing through his town, Jericho, Zacchaeus tried to see him. But what do we read? He was unable due to the crowd, because he was short in stature. So the people around Zacchaeus, they hindered him from seeing Jesus. They formed a natural prison around him. He wanted to see him, but they wouldn't let him. Now, this has happened to many people who have come to know the Lord Jesus. The people around them prevented them from seeing Jesus. Oh, what are you doing? You're going to become religious. What? You're leaving the traditions of the fathers. You're doing this. What are you doing? You create the friends come and they'll say, you know, your friends, oh, man, what are you doing? You're not going to hang out with us anymore and do the things you used to? You're going to follow Jesus and all that? See, people are always ready to hinder us from seeing Jesus. And not only coming to Jesus in faith, growing in the faith as well. People are going to hinder us from seeing Jesus. It's not unusual. The question is, what do you do in these circumstances? Do you let them push you around and keep you from seeing Jesus? Or do you push yourself through the crowd until you see the Lord? God the Father will always make sure that the person determined to see Jesus will eventually see him. But the problem wasn't just the crowd. Zacchaeus also had a natural impediment. What was it? He was short. He couldn't, even on his tippy toes, he couldn't see Jesus passing. So Zacchaeus was prevented from seeing Jesus, not only by the people around him, but also by his own natural limitations. Sometimes, even as Christians, sometimes we have fears. What if I really catch a glimpse of Jesus in this stage of my life? What's he going to ask me to do? Maybe he's going to ask me to renounce something, change direction. We have our natural limitations. But on that day, in that place, Zacchaeus would not be denied. So then, how did he overcome these obstacles? By his faith. But what kind of faith exactly? Because faith is, as a term, is thrown out there. Faith, 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 faith. It was a faith that could not be deterred by anyone or anything from seeing Jesus as he passed by. That's faith. And it doesn't have to be a big faith. It just has to be a determined faith. Because his faith certainly was very small at the time, because he hardly knew anything about Jesus. This single-minded faith is nothing less than what the Bible describes as seeking the Lord with all your heart. Indeed, in verse 4, we read to what lengths Zacchaeus went to see Jesus. Luke 19:4. So he ran on ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree in order to see him, because he was about to pass through that way. So the determination of this man is shown by two verbs, to run and to climb. Now, since Zacchaeus was already the leader of the tax collectors, he must have already reached a certain age. And in those days, it would have been very rare for a young man to hold such an important and lucrative position. Therefore, he was probably at least middle-aged, if not older, a little older. And as anyone can tell you, even professional athletes, once you hit your 30s, really, but once you hit your 40s, two of the first physical attributes to start to diminish are the ability to run hard and climb like you used to. But again, Zacchaeus would not be denied. Look at this man's faith. And it was little faith. You know, Jesus says, all you need is a little faith. But it has to be a faith that will not be denied. In coming to see him for the first time, and perhaps seeing him in afresh later on in your Christian walk. He wasn't deterred by the obstacles. I love this about Zacchaeus. He wasn't deterred. whether man-made or natural. He saw them as obstacles because that's what they were, but he wasn't prevented from moving because of them. On the contrary, he overcame all impediments by sheer force of will to position himself in a strategic place so that he could see Jesus when he passed by. Is Jesus passing by your life right now? Are you running to go see him? Was he small in stature? Yes. Was the crowd dense and imposing? Yes. Were his legs not what they used to be? No, they weren't. But he still had them. And even more importantly, he had a little faith, a sense of need, and a very strong desire to see Jesus. And then there was that sycamore tree off in the distance. If only he could get to it, he could climb it and see. So what did he do? He did whatever it took to see Jesus. He took to running, fighting through the mass of people between him and his goal, and he didn't stop until he reached the tree, which he promptly climbed in hopes of catching a glimpse of the great man as he passed by. And while Zacchaeus was doing all this, listen carefully, while Zacchaeus was doing all this on his part, and of course God was behind him, even though he probably didn't realize it, while Zacchaeus was running and climbing, God too was doing something in the invisible realm. Unknown to Zacchaeus, the Holy Spirit was revealing to Jesus that when he got to a certain point along the way, there would be a man there named Zacchaeus up in a tree who wanted to see him. In fact, we read in verses 5 to 6, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up. Why would he look up? And said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. And he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. Now, you want to know something really wonderful? Whenever we seek Jesus with all our heart, Jesus himself sees us and calls us to himself. In fact, when Jesus passed by the sycamore tree, he deliberately looked up to see that little man despised by everyone for the Spirit of God who was upon him, showed him. Why did he bother with this man? Because that man had run through a dense crowd and climbed a big old tree just to see him. You know, we can't get away from this aspect. Whoever seeks me with all his heart, I will show myself to him. That's the way God works. Sometimes as Christians, we go through dry periods, right? Where's the Lord? Where's the Lord? Where's the Lord in my life? I know he's there, but I can't see him. And our will is impeded. All the air is taken out of us. And we would like to have the will, but we don't have the strength. You know, we got to start turning to the Lord at that moment and start asking him for the strength of will. Because without will, provided by the grace of God, but without will, we're going to miss Jesus as he passes by. Wherever you go looking for Jesus, though, Jesus will find you precisely at that place. So when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and opening his mouth, called Zacchaeus by name, telling him to come down immediately from the tree because the two of them had a divine appointment at the house of that sinful tax collector. Now notice the exact wording Jesus uses. For today, I must stay at your house. That's a wonderful verse. In the Old Testament, there's another beautiful verse in 2 Chronicles 16:9. You don't have to turn, I'll just read it. It says, for the eyes of the Lord roam throughout the earth so that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. You can't get away from it. If your heart isn't his, don't expect the favors from the Lord. You could be doing lots of things wrong and repenting of them, of course, or you could be doing lots of things right, but in both cases, your heart has to be desirous of the Lord. It's one of the main things that believers, non-believer, and believers have to cultivate. The Lord's Supper, the meeting in the morning, is the perfect environment for that. You know, to warm our heart towards the Lord. To have the Spirit of God, through remembering, warm our heart. The Lord goes out of his way to find those who passionately seek him, to help them out. So even as Zacchaeus is driven to see Jesus, Jesus must stay at Zacchaeus' house. And as Jesus shows grace by desiring to enter the home of this despised sinner, so Zacchaeus is freed to joyfully welcome Jesus into his life and be transformed by his friendship. The devil, however, doesn't give up so easily. Behind the scenes, he had the crowd accusing in protest of Jesus' movement of grace towards the tax collector. But once again, Zacchaeus would not be denied. Verses 7 and 8. And nor would Jesus be denied. How great. When a person will not be denied, and Jesus will not be denied, well, that's a winning combination. Jesus will never be denied. Sometimes we allow ourselves to be denied, seeing him as he passes by in our life. When the people saw this, verse 7, they all began to complain, saying, oh, he's gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. But Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my possessions, he was a rich man, so it's not, you know, half of my possessions doesn't change anything. Half of his possessions, he was a rich man, changed a lot. Half of my possessions, I'm giving to the poor. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, if I've stolen over the years, I'm giving back four times as much. So in the end, there aren't many who ever really see Jesus, though there are a lot of people who are self-righteous hypocrites, like the crowd. The latter don't want sinners to come to Jesus to find grace and forgiveness. They're the false religious folk who always have the wrong idea about Jesus. That is, they think that he's just like them. Therefore, they can't grasp the real reason why the Son of God came to earth. That is, to give his own life as a sacrifice to forgive sinners who seek him with all their heart. The moralists of this world believe that Jesus came for the good people, perhaps for religious people like themselves. And that's why the crowd murmured and complained when Jesus invited himself to Zacchaeus' home, which was a sign of fellowship. You know, to go to someone's house is a sign of fellowship. I'm in with you. Because he was accepted by Jesus, they hated Zacchaeus even more than they did for being a tax collector. And not only, they also turned against Jesus for showing mercy to a sinner. Now, how sad it is that so few people really know the gospel. And that our business really is to get this gospel out. Let's put aside all political things and stuff. Let's bring out the gospel of mercy, of God's grace, and give that to the people. They know, because people out there know nothing about the grace of God in Christ Jesus. For them, people like Zacchaeus must first become good citizens, and only then can they be accepted into God's elitist social club, as they view it. They don't realize that God seeks those who seek him with all their hearts, and then sends Jesus into their lives to forgive them their sins and to change them completely for the good. And glory to God, Jesus is never diverted from his mission, from this mission. And so he happily goes off with Zacchaeus to his house despite the protests of the crowd. Notice, Jesus doesn't even, the text doesn't give us many details, but it doesn't give us the idea that, you know, Jesus, oh, what's the crowd thinking? No. Jesus, Zacchaeus, I must go to your house today. Let's go. And then the crowd, you're going to the house of the sinner. There's no signs at all that Jesus was deterred, even minimally, from all that. Because Jesus is as determined in his love towards us as we are in our desire to see him. And even our desire to see him, though, is the work of God in us, the work of the Holy Spirit in us. So all the glory does go to God in the end. So maybe someone here would like to know personally Jesus' love. Well, seek him with all your heart, and you'll find that he's already loved you to the max. He's already given his life for you on a cross to forgive your sins. So all you have to do is step into salvation, and then everything changes. So in this story, we see the very heart of the gospel. Zacchaeus was accepted by Jesus not because he first became a good man, but why? Because he pushed through the crowd that day with all his strength, all the strength of his small stature, in order to reach the sycamore tree, which he promptly climbed just to see Jesus, if only for a moment. That is, or in other words, Jesus accepted him because of a faith which acted. In fact, it was only after Jesus saw Zacchaeus' faith in action, and after Zacchaeus joyfully welcomed Jesus into his home, that this sinner found the strength through Jesus' acceptance to change his life and receive salvation as a gift. Verses 9 and 10. And Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because he too, Zacchaeus, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." So over the centuries, many people have believed in Jesus, but for them, faith really had been just kind of a fad or a tradition. Even today, many people despise the idea of Christ, but many people still like the idea of Christ. They like the idea of church, but they never really want to see him. And we know they don't, because when they have to make hard decisions to leave their sin behind them, they choose their sin instead of obedience to God. And that's how we know. People who really want to see Jesus are going to listen to what he says and do it. People who only fake want to see Jesus might stand up and sing songs and play the guitar or whatever for Jesus. But if they don't want to see him, they're not going to forfeit what they want to do. Because what their heart is really desiring is this, and not to see Jesus. And so when it comes to a choice, they make the choice and they follow their heart. That's why it's so important that seeing Jesus is at the heart of our heart. Perhaps these people might admit their sins, but they're not willing to abandon them, and therefore they never really see Jesus. Not so with Zacchaeus. He truly embraced Jesus, allowing God's grace to first break his heart and then fill it with love, with joy, and with gratitude. Like many, Zacchaeus repented of his old lifestyle, but unlike many, he didn't stop with a mere confession, with mere words. To show that he was really serious about turning his life around, he took concrete steps regarding his former lifestyle, deciding to give half of all his wealth to the poor and to give back four times the amount he had stolen in the past. Now that is something. You see, He wasn't accepted by Jesus because he did that. He did that because he was accepted by Jesus and he knew his love. We sinners are only able to truly change because of the grace Jesus first shows to us. Zacchaeus did well seeking to see Jesus. He did well. But nothing really happened until he saw Jesus see him. And he invited, or he accepted Jesus' invitation. Jesus invited himself to Zacchaeus' house. They say it's not good manners, but he did it. I'm coming over today. What do you got to eat? Yeah. Jesus did that. And Zacchaeus, seeing that he was accepted by this great man as a sinner, his heart broke, filled with love and gratitude. Then come the good works. Then comes the desire to give back because he had first received. In fact, notice how God's grace works in the heart of those who seek Jesus with their whole self. Normally, people only return dishonestly gained money when? When they get caught. When they get caught, let's admit it. Zacchaeus, on the other hand, was changed by God's goodness in the depths of his being. Jesus showed him grace first, and only then, after knowing from personal experience God's true love, did he voluntarily change his life, giving money to the needy and paying back those he had stolen from, though nobody had asked him to. Christ's grace compelled him. And this is a good lesson, especially for young people who grow up in Christian families. You have to know Christ in the same way. You have to come and know that you too are a sinner. You have to. It's the way. And you have to seek Jesus. You have to run after him. And be assured by faith that Jesus will find you there where you're seeking him. Seeing this transformation in Zacchaeus, Jesus was sure that his faith was real and declared at that moment what? Today's salvation has come into this house because he too is a son of Abraham. Now in the Old Testament, you guys know God commanded Abraham to pack his bags one day, leave his old life behind, set out for a land he didn't even know where it was. Because he obeyed the Lord, right, faith in action, he became the symbol of true faith for all time. Faith without obedience is a sham. Faith obeys. If it's real faith, it obeys. If you say, I believe in Jesus, and the Word of God says, stop this lifestyle, and you don't stop it, it's not faith. It's not true faith. Faith obeys. By completely changing his life to honor Jesus, Zacchaeus proved that he was the spiritual descendant of Abraham, a man of genuine faith. And in all of this, we discover that Jesus came to seek and to save what was lost, not who thinks he is already found, special, religious, moral. He really comes to look for those who understand that they're sinners and they need help. Why would Zacchaeus do all that? Even if he didn't know all this theology, all this doctrine, there was something in his life where he had to see Jesus pass by that day. Some come to Jesus as wolves in sheep's clothing. They're determined to feast on the flock and fill their bellies. These will be horribly judged by God on the last day. Others are sheepish, but not really sheep. And therefore, don't become part of Jesus' flock. To be a sheep, you have to be broken. You have to recognize, I need to see Jesus today as he passes by. Now, the question is, and I finish with this, is whether you, in TV land or here in public, in person, have ever seen Jesus in this way for who he really is? And if not, it's only because you've never really seen yourself for who you are, and so never sought him with all your heart in order to get fixed, in order to get saved. Whenever someone really wants to see Jesus, God will make sure that they do. That's a guarantee throughout scriptures. And furthermore, that Jesus will see them and tell them, come over here. I'm going to your house today. We have to talk. And if you've never looked for him, it's only because you don't think you need to. But beware, God's words tell us that you can make it without Jesus in this life. You can become successful, rich, powerful, only to discover at the very end, however, that you've made a terrible mistake. You know, there's the story of Joseph Stalin on his deathbed. What's his last gesture? Raises up his fist against God. You beat me. I wanted to beat you, but you beat me. It's written in Hebrews 9:27. So Christ also, well, it's written in 9:27 that it's appointed for all of us to die once, after which comes God's judgment. That's the order of things. And who would know better the order of things if not the creator and sustainer of all? God who orders things. That's his order. Zacchaeus, that's I think 27. Zacchaeus waited for Jesus to pass by one day and then did everything that was necessary in order to see him. He searched for Jesus with all his heart, all his strength, all his will, right? Doesn't Jesus say that? And he got to the place where Jesus passed by and Jesus saw him. And then everything changed. Joy and love and peace flooded his heart. And he knew that he was saved. So if there's an unbeliever listening, I know there are believers, the principle is always the same. Jesus, I don't even want to say Jesus passes by in a special way every day. He's always there, but sometimes he actually, you know, he passes by, if you know what I mean. He's always there, but some days he passes by in a special way, some periods of our life. Maybe the Lord lets us see. Maybe we're in the doldrums. Maybe we've gotten far from Jesus. And then somehow you realize he's passing by, often through the word, through a brother or sister, a song, whatever, can let you know Jesus is passing by. That's when we have to say, that's enough. I've had enough. I'm running. I'm climbing. I'm doing whatever I have to do to see Jesus. And you can bet on it. He'll see you there. And you'll have a great meal with him, even if it's at your own house. Lord God, we come before you, and I want to thank you for how you present yourselves to us. You don't need to do it. You do it out of love and grace and mercy. Lord God, I want to pray for whoever might not know you right now, that you might give them the strength to have the will to run to see you pass by. Or perhaps there's a brother or sister who's struggling or who's sad or a little bit lost in their life. Lord God, give them the wherewithal as well to run and to climb just to catch a glimpse of you, and then great things will happen. All the glory to you. Thank you for loving us so much. In Jesus' name, amen.